Blog Talk Radio.
Live Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight we're going to be discussing knowing who you are in Christ Jesus. But before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer and a song of praise. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening, God. I thank you for all of your grace and all of your mercy that we've enjoyed today, God. Father, I thank you for your hand of protection around each and every one of your people, God. Father, I thank you for your complete and total restoration, God. Father, I thank you for you having sent your Son to destroy the works of the devil so that we could live a life more than abundantly, mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and financially, God. And Father, I thank you for you giving us the desire to win souls for the kingdom, God, and to teach us to love ourselves better, to love you better, to love others better. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. We're going to listen to the song of praise by Jason Nelson, Shifting the Atmosphere.
Shifting the atmosphere.
Church, help me say that.
It's moving and it's breaking. My brain is shifting the atmosphere. Every oak will be destroyed.
I believe it.
Every chain is broken. This worship is shifting the atmosphere.
Help me say it.
It's moving and it's breaking. Our praise is shifting the atmosphere. It's moving and it's breaking. This worship is shifting the
things don't feel like you think they should. Don't get mad. Don't cuss nobody out. Don't hang up the phone. Worship. If you could just get you out of the way enough to lift your hands and say, God, I need you right here.
You'll be shifting the atmosphere.
Cried myself to sleep. Don't know where my son is. He's been gone for 3 days. I may call the police. Yeah. But before I do, I'm going to lift my hands. Because in my worship, they'll find him alive and well.
And you'll be shifting the atmosphere.
Pain in my body. Doctors don't know what it is. And they tell me just take this medication and that gives me another problem. And they say to take this, that, and that gives me another problem. But the next time I go to the doctor, before I walk in the room, I lift my hands.
And I'll be shifting the atmosphere. Breakthrough and healing. Our worship is shifting. Shifting. Shifting the atmosphere.
Welcome back to Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight we're going to be discussing knowing who you are in Christ Jesus. And the reason we're going to be discussing this is because our hope, the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when we will become exactly like he is. And what we are doing now on earth is preparing ourselves to be ready for that so that we can go into eternity prepared to reign with Christ, having our relationship with God, our Heavenly Father, firmly established, and understanding our submission to our Lord and Savior, our Master Jesus Christ, as our ruler. is something that is preparing us for reigning with him in eternity. And so right now, we're to be building up our inner man. We're to be building up our souls. We're to be preparing ourselves for this time of transition into eternity. And I always say on this show that we have spent 9 months, give or take, in our mother's womb preparing for 70 to 120 years of life on earth in these earthen vessels, in these bodies that we have. And now these earthen vessels contain our soul that is being prepared during these 70 to 120 years on earth for eternity. And if you look at that and understand that, what helped you be prepared for your 70 to 120 years on earth when you were in the womb was the placenta that connected you to your mother and brought the nutrients to you. The umbilical cord that connected the amniotic sac to the placenta, and then the amniotic sac that surrounded you. And when you were born, when your mother's amniotic sac burst, that umbilical cord was cut. The placenta came out and was removed. It was discarded. It was thrown away. And it did not go through your life with you during these 70 to 120 years. No more than this flesh and bones body is going into eternity. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God, but your soul, which is being prepared for eternity, is going to inherit eternity. And so you need to focus on building up your inner man, because that is what is being prepared for eternity. And eternity is much longer than the 70 to 120 years that we spend here on earth. But God says that while we're here, we're to live a more than abundant life so that we can win souls for the kingdom. And understand that the period that we were being prepared in our mother's womb of the 9 months was nothing in comparison to the 70 to 120 years that we spend alive on earth. But this 70 to 120 years that we spend alive on earth is nothing in comparison to eternity. And you can see that the time of preparation is important, and we want to focus on those things that are important. So that's why we're going to share this teaching tonight on knowing who you are in Christ Jesus, so that you can stay focused on our hope. And our hope is in the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, knowing that we are his and he is ours, and we will be like him. And we will see him as he is, and we will become like him when that great and awesome day comes. So look at what it says here in Acts chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. And this is speaking of when Jesus Christ ascends to heaven. It says, "Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven.'" And see, this is the beginning. This is the beginning of all the things that we're talking about, because we know what happened after this is the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And we know that they had to go and wait in Jerusalem to receive the Holy Spirit. And the beginning of the church had started, and the Holy Spirit was sent to dwell within you and I. And but starting with these 120 Jewish people in Jerusalem. So now we have to look at this thing and say and see that these are the people who actually saw him go into heaven, saw him ascend into heaven as he was taken up. And they were looking into heaven, and And the two angels said to them, look, why do you stand gazing up in heaven? Jesus Christ is coming back, just like you saw him go. And that's what we're to be preparing ourselves for, is his return. And that is our hope. That is our glory, because, see, our faith is going to be rewarded, and that God is going to do what he said he was going to do. See, if you don't believe what God said in his word, then this isn't a concern. But if you believe that the word of God is the will of God, then you know that Jesus Christ's return in our transformation to become like he is something that is going to occur. And so now we need to be preparing ourselves for that. So I want you to turn in your Bible to Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. And I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. And it says, this is talking about us being trained by saving grace. And what it says here in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14, it says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, right now, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. See, here in Titus, it's telling us that we're being trained by saving grace. It's the saving grace of God that we get from him new every day that trains us and prepares us and strengthens, cause we are looking for our blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, right, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. See, we are zealous for good works. We understand that God has wrought our works in us from before we were born. So what God has for us to do must get done, because it's God that determined those works. God wrought those works within us, and they are good works. And God's people are zealous to bring those works to pass. So when you delight in God's word, God gives you the desires of your heart. He gives you what to desire. And because you desire what God desires, it will come to pass. So don't dismiss the desires of your heart that God has placed on your heart when you are in league with him, when you're in agreement with his word, because those works given you to do, he's wrought within you before the beginning of time, and we're to be zealous for good works, zealous to do those things for God that he's requiring us to do. And we allow ourselves to be purified by being focused on getting those works accomplished in the earth to the glory of God. Look at what it says. It says, speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. See, when you talk about being purified for in order to please God, in order to serve God, in order to trust God, in order to operate in supernatural faith, right? When you talk about operating out of the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit, people are going to turn away, because it's going to require more of them than just telling them that they can do whatever they want, however they want. And see, look at what it says in verse 11. It says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. See, that's what it means to be sanctified. Being sanctified is being set apart for the work of God. We're set apart so that we can be God's own special people, zealous for good works. We're excited about getting God glory by doing things that glorify God and don't shame him, right? And don't shame ourselves. Of the tricks of the devil is to get you to believe that you doing your own thing is you loving you. And one of the ways that you talk yourself into this level of deception is by saying, I'm not hurting anyone except myself. And what you don't understand is that the first and great commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So when you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you do what God says to do. And then the second commandment that follows loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength is loving yourself. Actually, it says love others as you love yourself, saying that you got to love yourself first and then love others. But if you are walking in sin, if you're walking in worldly lust, if you are not living soberly, if you're not living righteously, if you're not living godly in the present age, if you're not doing these things and you're saying that I'm not hurting anyone else, I'm only hurting myself, the problem with that is that you are disobeying the second great command, which is to love others as you love yourself. You are not loving yourself. Therefore, you cannot love others. And that comes from you not loving God. So you see how the law of Christ, the law of love, enshrines all that God is asking us to do. And you just can't get around it. If you are not loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, if you're not loving yourself, then you can't love others. And you know that you need to repent, turn away from serving sin, and come back to God and submit to the power of the Holy Spirit and let God do his complete, perfect work through you, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And receive his new grace every day. Receive his new mercy every day. Watch yourself get stronger and stronger and stronger every day. And do things that you're not going to be able to do without the power of the Holy Spirit. You'll try and you'll fail. And I think the good thing about that is eventually you'll submit to the authority of the power of the Holy Spirit and let God do what he wants to do in you, so that his plan can come to fruition. The works that he placed within you can. I want to tell you that, you know, I've had many plans for myself and my life when I was younger. And what I've discovered over the years, over the decades, is that God's plans are always bigger than our plans for ourselves, because our plans are usually just for our own advancement. However, God's plans usually involve you leading others to his son, Jesus Christ, so that his son, Jesus Christ, can present them to his heavenly Father, God Almighty. Look at what it says here in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. It talks about God's promises not being slack. Look at what it says. It says, beloved, I now write to you the second epistle in both words, both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before the holy prophet and the commandment of us, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation, right? These people are accusing God of being slow. They're accusing God of not doing what he said he was going to do because he didn't do it fast enough for them. They just don't believe. And so Peter is writing this second epistle, Pure Minds of the Believers, as a reminder so that we can be mindful of the words that were spoken by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, knowing that scoffers will come in the last days. See, there are people now, they'll laugh when you tell them that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They'll laugh that you tell when you tell them that Jesus Christ was dead for 3 days and three nights in a stone tomb after being beat and crucified on a cross and killed, and that after 3 days and three nights, his heavenly Father, God Almighty, raised him from the dead, seated him at his right hand, gave him all power in heaven and earth and under the earth, and then sent the Holy Spirit to dwell within you and I so that we could once again walk in power and be children of God again and speak with God regularly through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we speak in tongues to our God in our heavenly prayer language. We speak to God in our regular language in prayer. We sing to God in our regular language. We sing to God in our heavenly prayer language in tongues. And they will laugh at you. And when they scoff, people walking according to their own lusts, thinking they have it all figured out, these scoffers that come, they're going to say, where's the promise of this coming? You've been talking about this for the past 2,000 years, and no one has shown up yet, right? Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Well, look at what it says here in 2 Peter 3, verses 5 to 7. It says, for this they willfully forget. They willfully forget. They forget on purpose that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire and day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. See, these people willfully forget that by the word of God, the heavens were of old. See, God spoke the heavens billions into being, billions of years ago, and the earth standing out of water and in the water. See, the earth used to have a layer of water around it, above it, and then it had a layer of water over it. And it says, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. See, the landmass of the earth used to be one landmass. One big landmass. If you ever look at a globe, you'll see how the continents look like a big puzzle. And if you ever move them together, they look like they would fit. That's because they used to be one big piece of land that was a third of the face of the earth, and the other two-thirds of the face of the earth before the flood was this big layer of water around the earth. And when the flood occurred, all that water that was above the earth came down, and the fountains underneath the earth came up, and that caused the one landmass, the Pangaea, to move and to break apart in pieces according to the tectonic plates. And you see these seven continents move into their positions over time slowly, right? And this says, but the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word that God used to speak the heavens of old, billions of years into being, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, that by which the world then existed perished with flood, being flooded by water, right? The heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. See, ungodly men look like they're getting away with murder now because it seems that they're doing whatever they want to do, however they want to do it now. But we have to understand that it's our time to do the works that God has placed within us zealously, to be zealous for those good works, and to not let people talk us out of doing those works. Don't let people despise us for preparing ourselves for eternity, because many are not going to be in eternity. Many people are going to die twice. We are going to live twice, and we have to understand that it is our joy to share in the sufferings of Christ, because in eternity, we're going to share in the glory of Christ. We're going to share in the rewards of Christ because of our faithfulness, because of our obedience, because of what we do. And see, it's a great lie and great deception that you don't have to do anything. You don't have to do anything if you don't want to be blessed. You don't have to do anything if you don't want to reign with Christ in eternity. You don't have to do anything if you just want to get into heaven, because Christ already paid the price for you to be saved. All you have to do is make him Lord of your life and do what it says in Acts 2:38-39, Acts 19:1-7, and Romans 10:8-13, right? Do what it says there, and you will be saved. That, you know, the rest of this is for people who want to be blessed. The rest of this is for people who want to live a more than abundant life, mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially. The rest of this is for people who want to be children of God and have a relationship with God and speak with your Heavenly Father in your heavenly prayer language and build yourself up for eternity. There are people who will tell you it doesn't take all that. They'll tell you that you don't have to believe to receive word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. They'll tell you you don't have to operate in supernatural acts of faith. They'll tell you don't have to perform miracles. They'll tell you don't have to heal people. They'll tell you don't have to speak in tongues or speak in tongues interpret and or prophesy. They'll tell you don't have to do anything. And they're lying to you, just like the devil lied to Eve and told her that God knew that when she partook of the fruit that she would be as wise as he was, right? Really, the truth was that when Eve partook of the fruit, she became aware of the devil and who he was and what he did, a nobody, before she partook of the fruit and sin. And he was really nobody until Adam sinned and partook of the fruit. And after that, he became an active force. All of the dominion that was placed in Adam's hands was legally transferred because of Adam's sin. And see, sin always has the effect of destroying the nature and the life of the one who is practicing sin. So when Adam allowed sin to enter the human bloodline, the human existence, mankind was set back. Mankind was removed from God. That's what it says here in 2 Peter 3:8-9. It says, "But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." See, God is giving everyone time to get their act together. He is long-suffering. He's patient toward us. And because he is going to lose one soul that he has determined is going to be in the Lamb's Book of Life, but he is going to gain each and every one of them. So taking his time, taking the past 2,000 years, understanding that 1,000 years with the Lord is one day, and a day is as 1,000 years to God. And we have to understand that our counting and reckoning of time is not his, because he's eternal. He's infinite. He is before time. And for us, we have to simply believe and trust God that his plan is good. And see, when we believe that God's plan is good, then we can stand in that place of expectation. We can diligently work to develop our relationship with God intentionally and speak with him and build up our inner man and ask God what he has for us to do today, every day. Look what it says in 2 Peter 3:10 to 13. Speaking of the day of the Lord, it says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are therein will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening for the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." See, that's our desire, is we are looking forward to the day of the Lord. And see, those who look forward to the day of the Lord, we purify ourselves. We dismiss the lust of the world, flesh, and the pride of life. And we submit to the authority of God. And we are seeking to please God. And we're looking for that great day of the Lord. And you know what? When you look forward to that, there's a crown of righteousness waiting for you. Because you're living as if Jesus Christ can return at any minute. Because Jesus Christ can return at any minute. Look at what it says. It says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat." Have you ever been in science class and seen the periodic table, law of the elements? All of those elements will melt with fervent heat. Everything you see is just done. Both the earth and the works that are therein, it will be burned up. So whatever it is people think they're worshiping, these idols, they're not going to exist. They're not going to exist. And that tells you how silly it is to put any trust in anything that is not God and his word. So it says, "Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness?" See, it's saying that whatever it is you think is important here is not going to exist. So you should be about the business of developing your soul, preparing your soul. Your soul should be the focus of your life, because your soul is more valuable than you realize. And so many people are prepared to sell their soul for stuff here that they see that is not going to be in eternity. It's going to be nothing. It's going to dissolve. Looking and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. See, we are yearning for the righteousness of God. We're zealous for good works. We're looking for the new heaven and the new earth, understanding that this heaven and earth will pass away. Look at what it says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 and 16. It says, "Be steadfast. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. As also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in his, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. See, we have to understand that God is telling us what to do. And he's coming, he's sending his son back, and he's going to return for a body that is blameless. And so long suffering, the patience of our Lord is salvation. He's giving us time to develop, time to strengthen our walk with him, time to get it together, time to allow the Holy Spirit to work out who we really are from within us, because we understand who we are in Christ is not who we were before we were saved. And then it says, as Paul shared, according to the wisdom that was given to him, he's written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some hard things to understand. Paul speaks about marriage. Paul speaks about a lot of things. And it says, Paul speaks about grace. And it says, untaught and unstable people twist the teachings of Paul to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. So when you don't let the word of God be the word of God, then, person, you just want the word to say what you want it to say so that you can talk yourself into whatever it is you're trying to talk yourself into. And you can make the word of God say a lot of different things if you don't allow it to speak for itself. But when you let the Bible say what it says, then you either believe that or you do not. That's why we're called believers, because we believe the word of God is the will of God, and it will come to pass. Look what it says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. It says, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. See, we are being encouraged to not fall away. We're being encouraged to beware, to be cautious of the error of the wicked by those who would twist the word of God to their own purpose and devices. And to understand that God is giving us a mandate. God is giving us a calling so that we can grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is God's desire for us. Look at what it says here in 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. It's a commandment to love. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. So we have to understand that, you know, God has bestowed his love on us so that we can be called children of God. That's a great privilege. And it says that the world does not know us because the world did not know God. And it says, beloved, now are we the children of God, right now. And it has not been revealed what we shall be, because we know, and it says, but we know that when he is revealed, when Jesus Christ is revealed, when he returns, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. See, we are preparing ourselves for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because We want to be ready. We want to be pure. We want to be without spot and blameless. We want to allow the Holy Spirit within us to do a complete and perfect work. We want the works that God has wrought within us to come to pass, to come to fruition. We are zealous for those good works. We are about that business. And we know that faith without works is dead. So who wants dead faith? I certainly don't. Look at what it says here in 1 John chapter 3, verses 4 to 9. It speaks of sin and the child of God. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. And so we have to understand that sinning is not loving yourself. It says whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. Lawlessness is word for iniquity. And sin is lawlessness, just doing what you want to do. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him there is no sin. See, sin harms you. Sin separates you from God. Sin destroys you. It's what the devil uses to steal, kill, and destroy all of your physical, mental, spiritual, emotional, and financial restoration and peace and abundance. See, the devil's all about destruction. And you're agreeing with him when you decide not to do the things of God. And it says, whoever abides in him does not sin. See, the whole point behind abiding in Christ is that you're protected from being self-destructive. An acronym I've developed for sin, S-I-N, is self-inflicted nonsense. See, you can't love yourself and walk in sin, because walking in sin is self-destructive by nature. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him, because you must love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And if you do that, then you're not walking in sin. You must love yourself. And if you're loving yourself, you're not walking in sin. You must love others. And if you are loving others, you can't be walking in sin. So, understanding that we are about the business of purifying ourselves, because we're preparing ourselves for eternity, and we want to please God, serve God, trust God, and we want to operate out of the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit. Look what it says in 1 John chapter 3, verses 7 and 9. Speaking again of sin and the child of God, it says, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, because he has been born of God. And now we know that it is the grace and mercy of God that allows us each and every day to be cleansed from sin, and to be free from sin, and to be restored. And we are not about the business of practicing sin. And if we do sin, then we have a mediator, we have a just, we have a high priest who has paid for our sins with his blood. And the mercy of God allows us to get up quickly and not get stuck in our own mess, but to get back to work. But understand that the purpose of the Son of God, the purpose the Son of God was manifested, was so that he can destroy the works of the devil. The works of the devil is sin. It said, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. See, his job is to steal, kill, and destroy. When you sin, you're helping him do that. And a lot of people dismiss it by saying, I'm not hurting anyone but myself, right? but you're not obeying God in that second great commandment, which says love others as you love yourself, because you're not loving yourself. If you're walking in sin, you are destroying yourself. It says he who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he, Jesus Christ, is righteous. See, look at this. Practicing righteousness means you are doing what is right. You are intentionally doing what is right. Practicing sin is you are intentionally practicing sinning. You are getting better at whatever it is your special flavor of sin happens to be, right? But he who practices righteousness is righteousness. You are what you do. Don't let anyone, well, don't let yourself deceive yourself or let anyone else deceive you into believing that just because you say certain things or do or are in certain places at certain times that you are righteous. It says he who practices righteousness is righteous. You are what you do, not who you say you are or what you dress up pretending to be, right? Look at what it says in 1 John chapter 3, verses 10 to 12. It speaks of the imperative of love. It says, in this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. They're made known. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. See, those who are of the wicked one, those who practice sin, they envy you because your works are righteous. And Cain killed his brother because his works were evil and his brother's works were righteous and his brother's works were received by God. And we want our works to be received by God. And we know that if our works are the works that God wrought within us from the beginning of time, and we're zealous to do those good works, then we know that's going to be received by God because God put it there to be received by him, right? So we know that we need to love our brother. And if we don't love our brother, we're not of God. It says that whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. And we have to know that we are required to love one another. And the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest by what we do. Look what it says here in 1 John chapter 3, verses 13 to 15. And this is the last verse. It says, do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. That is a truth that is very difficult for people to get and understand, but that's why we practice walking in love. We practice doing, serving God, trusting God, pleasing God, and operating in absolute faith. I just want to encourage each and every one of you to know who you are in Christ and have a mindset to serve God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word that's gone forth and for blessing someone mightily in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, so that they can live a more than abundant life mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and financially. We thank you for this right now in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And as always, from Lester Carver with Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Night Teachings, be ye transformed.